Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are those religious people who say that we of the Churches of Christ talk too much about baptism. More than likely, this is said because they do not talk about it at all. Recently, one was heard to say that you can tell if a Campbellite preacher was preaching because they will eventually talk about baptism. Well, why not talk about baptism? Paul preached it. Was he a Campbellite preacher? Peter preached it. Was he a Campbellite preacher? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all preached it. Were they Campbellite preachers? Jesus preached it. Were they Campbellite preachers? Dear friend, I'm no Campbellite, and I preach baptism and preach it just like the aforenamed men preached it. The trouble with many religious people is that they reject what the Word of God teaches regarding it, and they resent those who accept it and proclaim it. We give place to no such as that. Not for a moment. They are like the man who was caught stealing and was brought to trial, and one witness after another testified of his guilt, and finally the judge asked him if he wanted to say anything, and he responded, "I think too much has been said already." Little wonder that those who dislike the biblical message of baptism think we preach on baptism too much. Is it possible to overemphasize anything that God has taught? Well, we think not. It is very possible to underemphasize what He has taught. And many pulpits will stress faith and love and hope and morality, and nobody complains that that's overstressed. We do contend for balanced preaching, but not preaching one thing to the neglect of another. Paul preached the whole counsel of God, and so should we. And I am persuaded that if more of our religious objectors preached on the subject and more taught the truth about it, our task of preaching it as often as we have to would not be as demanding. Baptism is one of God's commands, and men must obey it, and obey it for the reason that it is commanded. But even then, we must realize that there are some things that baptism will not accomplish because God has not commanded baptism for just any and every purpose. Its purposes are limited. Now let us consider what baptism will not do. Friend, conversion to Christ involves three distinct changes. One, the sinner's heart, his convictions, his allegiance must be changed. Two, his manner of life must be changed. And three, his relationship to God must be changed. The person who changes in all three of these ways is converted to Christ. Now, a person may love sin, but he now loves righteousness. He once practiced sin, but now practices righteousness. He was in Satan's kingdom, but now is a citizen of the church, the Lord's kingdom. Now, there are three divine appointments or commands to be obeyed for the purpose of accomplishing these three changes. God uses faith to accomplish the needed change of a man's allegiance and his convictions. In order for a man to do the will of God from the heart, Ephesians 6:6, the heart must be right. His faith must reside in Christ, the only way to God, John 14:6. And Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins," John 8:24. True obedience stems from a heart, Romans 6:17 and 18. Those people to whom Paul wrote are said to have obeyed from the heart. And even though baptism has an important place in God's scheme of redemption, baptism does not change the heart of man. Faith changes man's loyalties and his convictions and his service. And faith is produced by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. As one hears the evidence presented in God's Word and considers it, he comes to believe. The change in one's manner of life is the result of genuine repentance. Jesus taught, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13:3. Repentance is a change of mind toward sin, a change of mind toward Christ, brought about by godly sorrow, and the results of it are a reformation of life. A change in conviction is useless unless it takes action in a change of mind that will lead to a change of life. One cannot continue living in sin and be pleasing to God, Romans 6, 1 and 2. As important as the Bible teaches baptism is, That change of mind is not accomplished by baptism. That is repentance. And repentance is motivated by a faith and confidence in Christ. And the third change, the change of relationship with God, follows faith and repentance. Whereas we were servants of sin, we become servants of righteousness by our obedience. Romans 6:17-18. When Paul was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, he gave evidence of repentance, and he was baptized. Acts 22:16. The Jews on Pentecost, showing evidence that they believed the gospel message as preached by Peter and asking what they must do, they were told to repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38. Those who are baptized are those who are made the sons and daughters of God, and by baptism enter into Christ. Galatians 3:27. For you see, salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. It is so important that we get into Christ. But that is accomplished by baptism, Romans 6:3-4. Friend, conversion is not complete until all three changes have occurred. Now, baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Baptism is in water, Acts 8:10. Even so, the water of baptism will not remove our sins. Now, there are those who falsely accuse gospel preachers of preaching what they call water salvation because they preach baptism in water to be saved. But nobody that has ever taught the truth has ever considered the power to save to be the element of water. It is simply the element into which one must be baptized. We do not preach what is commonly called baptismal generation. We place no efficacy with the water itself, but rely wholly and totally on God and the blood of His Son to be saved. Salvation is an operation of God, Colossians 2:12, an operation that God performs when we obey His command to be baptized. Since it pleases God to save man in such fashion, why should anybody object? Naaman was healed of his leprosy, 2 Kings 5, when he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. But neither he nor anyone else credited the water of Jordan with the healing power. God healed him. But when did God heal him? It was when he obeyed what God told him to do and not a second before. Naaman glorified God, not the water. But neither did he deny the need of going to the water as some anti-baptism people do today. Peter said that baptism saves, 1 Peter 3:21. But not in the sense that there's power in the water. The power is in the blood, and it is in baptism that we reach that blood. When we're baptized into His death, and that's where His blood was shed. Romans 6:3-4. Nor can one expect baptism to remove and immunize us from temptation. After baptism, we're in Christ, and we're one of the saved. But we're still human beings. We're not gods who are perfect, and who are no longer subject to temptation. Repeatedly the Scriptures warn the Christian against falling to temptation. Paul said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Why would Paul comfort his brethren that they could endure trial and temptation if they, once baptized, were immune to its havoc? Why, even Paul realized that he could be tempted and become a castaway even after he had preached to others, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Now, it is no sin to be tempted. Sin is yielding to temptation. Christ was tempted, Matthew 4, but he sinned not, Hebrews 4:15 and 1 Peter 2:22. John teaches us that we make ourselves liars if we say we do not sin, 1 John 1:8-10. And baptism does not remove us from temptation, and baptism does not forgive future sins that we may commit after baptism. We are purged from our old sins, 2 Peter 1:9. But in baptism, we are not forgiven of sins that we've not yet committed. Baptism does not give us a license to live as we see fit thereafter. Having come to Christ, we are not to live in sin, Romans 6:1-2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And we often do sin. Baptism places us in a relationship with God where we have access to the avenue of prayer for forgiveness, but baptism does not forgive future sins. When we sin, there is no need to be baptized again once we are in Christ, because by baptism we are no longer children of the devil, but children of God. Once baptized, we are in Christ, and we can pray for forgiveness after we have repented of our sins, Acts 8 and verse 22. Baptism washes away sins, our past sins. It changes our status before God. But we're not given a lifelong indulgence that says all sins we commit thereafter are forgiven. And this leads us to the important point that baptism does not assure and guarantee that we're going to go to heaven. Now, while baptism is essential to reach heaven, for God has made it a condition that we must meet, the child of God must live faithfully in order to receive the crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Paul said, "The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but also to them that love his appearing." For this reason, Paul wrote, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." But, dear friend, we're not to think that if we faint along the way, that the benefits will be the same as if we had remained steadfast. We have heard it said, even by some who are members of the church, being added to the church by baptism, "Oh, I have been baptized." And even though they are living a sinful and unfaithful life, they are relying totally on the fact that their baptism has assured them that they'll see God in all of his glory. Friend, that is not so. We read of baptized people falling away, forsaking the truth, apostatizing. Baptism is the beginning of being a Christian, not the end of it. One who is baptized but is not loyal to his Lord will lose his relationship with God and be lost in hell, lest he repent and pray. Baptism does not change your allegiance. Baptism will not produce the change in your life, and it does not forgive sins by virtue of the water itself, nor will it remove temptation, the ability to sin, and it will not forgive sins not yet committed. It is not a guarantee of heaven. Baptism is the way that God has provided for us to be washed clean by the blood of Christ. It changes our relationship with God, and by obedience to his divinely given direction to be baptized, he adds us to his church, which is the saved, composed of his sons and his daughters in Christ. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.